bringing hope to many around the globe, transforming lives into legacy. Living Word with Pastor Mensah Okoku. And now, today's word.
Well, I'm continuing the message I started with last week, titled A Place to Be Fruitful, and this is part two of A Place to Be Fruitful. God wants us to function from a fruitful place. And last week, we focused on Genesis chapter 26, and we looked at the story of Isaac, and we landed on verse 22, where the scripture says, he moved from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. So he called its name Rehoboth, because he said, for now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And we defined Rehoboth as a wide and open place. A wide and open place. It's when God opens a space for you and gives you the place to be fruitful. We also said that Rehoboth means a street, a place of access. It is when God makes a way for you or gives you access. We also said that Rehoboth is a plaza. A plaza is a marketplace, a place of opportunity where what you have can be put on display. May God bring you to your Rehoboth, and may he give you the grace to be fruitful. Rehoboth is a watered land. It's a land of opportunity. We also said that when God makes room for us, he gives us access and opportunity. But we must not confuse opportunity and access for fruitfulness. It simply means now we have the capacity and the space to be fruitful. But when God brings us to Rehoboth, we must cultivate the opportunity that God has for us. I'm going to continue my study from the same passage in Genesis chapter 26. After Isaac had dug this well, remember the first two wells were contended for and fought over, and he lost them. And then he found this well called Rehoboth, which was not taken away from him. Now he believed that God had given him a space to operate in. And God does two major things happen after Isaac dug the well at Rehoboth. The first is that God gave assurance to Isaac. God came to Isaac and assured him of his presence in verses 24 and 25 of Genesis chapter 26. And the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of your father, Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake. So he built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord, and he pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servant dug a well. This is the second time that God appeared to Isaac. The first time God appeared to Isaac, he told him in the time of famine not to go to Egypt, because Egypt was the commercial center. It was the America of those days where people wanted to go to. But God warned Isaac and said, don't go where everybody is going, but stay in the land of Gerar. Stay in this land. It seemed like a wrong instruction, because this is the land where he faced a lot of opposition. And the reason why Isaac kept digging in Gerar was because he believed God had placed him there, although there was opposition. You know, many times when we are not sure the will of God for our lives, we easily move from place to place, change what we are doing, change our agenda. We see somebody doing something and we do it as well. And our whole lives are always on the move. But when we know that God has called us to a place, then in the midst of opposition, we still thrive. Because the best place to be is in the center of God's will. It's not in a country. It's not a location. It is the will of God. When you are in the will of God, you are in the right place at the right time. And Isaac kept digging because he believed that he was in the right place. And when God gave him assurance, he spoke about two things. First, he said, "I am with you." That is God's presence. And God's presence with us is our source of protection. God's presence was Isaac's protection. So people disliked him, people hated him, people fought him, but God was with him. And when God is with you, you are protected. It doesn't mean there will be no battles, but you are protected. So was God with Isaac when his wells were being taken? Yes, God was with him. Was God with Isaac when he worked without having anything to show for his hard work? Yes, God was with him. Because God's presence with us is in the valley or on the mountaintop. God is with you when you are working hard and have nothing to show. God is with you when people seem to have an advantage over you. God is still with you. He was with Isaac when people were fighting every effort he made. And that's the Lord's message to Isaac. He was telling Isaac, don't think because you are struggling, I've left you. And I believe God is saying to somebody, don't think because you are struggling, I've left you. Don't think because somebody took your wealth from you, I have left you. I never left you. I am with you, Isaac. And if your name is not Isaac, God is still with you. Then the Lord said something else to Isaac. He says, not only am I with you, I will bless you. God's promise to Isaac, I will bless you. That is God telling him, I will provide for you. I am your provision. I will bless you. So God is saying, Isaac, you've been through a lot in your life. People have not treated you fairly. But from this day, watch what I will do. Now you will see the blessing. Now you will see the manifestation of my intentions upon you. So the Bible says that Isaac built an altar and built a tent in Rehoboth. So that's the first thing that God did for Isaac, to let him know that this is the place you will be fruitful in the land. This is an open door. This is Rehoboth. How do I know it's Rehoboth? Because God's presence is with me and God's promise is with me. But secondly, something else happened to Isaac, something of very important consequence. Isaac's enemies or opponents came to him, accepted him, and allowed him to function in Rehoboth. Remember, earlier, whenever he had a breakthrough, they fought it. But this time, they came to him and they said, we give you space to function in. And I want you to look at verses 26 to 29. Verses 26 to 29 of Genesis, chapter 26. It says, then Abimelech came to him from Gerar with Ahuzah, one of his friends, and Phicol, the commander of his army. I'm sure that Ahuzah and Phicol were the ones who were giving Isaac trouble. Just by their name, Ahuza, you can tell this guy is a trouble causer. So Abimelech the king says, well, Isaac left us. We hear he has found a new well, and he's called Rehoboth. So let's go and see him. So Ahuza and Phicol, commander of the army, are going to see Isaac. Now, this visit can be good or bad. In verse 27, and Isaac said to them, why have you come to me since you hate me and have sent me away from you? So Isaac is sensing trouble. The trouble causes have come again. Verse 28, but they said, we have certainly seen that the Lord is with you. So we said, let there now be an oath between us, between you and us, and let us make a covenant with you that you will do us no harm, lest since we have not touched you, and since we have done nothing to you but good, and sent you away in peace, you are now the blessed of the Lord. That's a powerful testimony. I said, that's a powerful testimony for Abimelech and Ahuza and Phicol to come with this message. And the first thing they said is that we see the hand of the Lord upon you. They saw God's hand on Isaac. How could they know that God was with Isaac? How could they know? What was the sign? Most likely, they didn't expect Isaac to survive. I am sure that they have given the same treatment they have given to Isaac to other people and run the people out of town, and the people went broke. But they did it to Isaac. They took his wells from him, well after well, well after well, well after well, and kept pushing him out and pushing him out and pushing him out. And with all the intents and purposes, Isaac is supposed to give up and said, I give up. I don't think I will thrive here, and move on. But the guy kept working and working and working. And then they saw him blossoming. And the only conclusion they could come to is that God's hand is upon him. I don't know. Somebody pushed you and pushed you and pushed you and pushed you and fought you and fought you. But you are still fighting. And one of these days they're going to say, that is a woman of God. That is a man of God, because they push you, but you didn't fall. So these people came and said, the hand of the Lord is upon you, because they had observed what had been happening. The second thing is that they swore an oath of peace with Isaac. Isn't that amazing? These are the people who had sworn an oath of hatred, now swearing an oath of peace. They didn't just make peace with Isaac. They swore an oath. They entered into covenant. They wanted this arrangement to be permanent. And they even went to the extent of sugarcoating their earlier actions. They said to Isaac, we didn't touch you. We didn't touch you. Which is true. They didn't touch him. They just touched his wells. We didn't touch you. And we've done you good since you left. Since you came, we've been doing you good all along. You know, sometimes people, I don't know whether they have a very short memory, or the Lord helps them. The same person who's been doing you bad says, do you remember when I used to really treat you well, and you are my body, and everything is okay? So why are they doing all of these things? Because they realize the man is blessed, and the tide is about to change. And if they don't repair the relationship, when God's favor began to manifest on Isaac, they will be in trouble. So they said, we perceive that God is with you. We want to sign a deal with you. We want to sign a covenant with you. We want to come into agreement with you. And we want to change the relationship we have had with you in the past. And then they said something very interesting to Isaac. Please don't harm us. Please don't hurt us. They wanted Isaac to treat them well. They figured the future of Isaac was going to be great, and they wanted to benefit from that future. It's amazing when God opens a door for you and brings you to your Rehoboth. Those who were against you turn for you. And they do it with the same vehemence by which they were against you. The same energy. Because they see the hand of the Lord upon you. Maybe you may not see the hand of God upon yourself. You know, sometimes we go through life and we think, oh, life is hard. You know, I've been suffering and hardship after hardship. And we don't even see that people are watching us. And they watch us and watch us and they see us stumble, but we don't fall. You fall into a pit, you come out. A snake bites you, but you don't swell over. You are thrown to the den of lions. And the next morning you are saying, hello. And for you, you are saying, my life is lions and snakes and it's so much pain. But they are watching. And when they watch, they can't figure out why you survived all of those things. I here to tell every survivor, you survived that marriage and you survived that pain and you survived that situation. And everybody thought you will be destroyed. You will live in tears. You will be tattered. And now you are here worshiping the Lord. And you may not count it as much, but somebody is watching you and their conclusion is the hand of the Lord is upon them. That was not how Isaac saw his life. That's how Abimelech saw Isaac. Because they took him through hell and he came through heaven. They gave him hell and he produced heaven. They gave him hardship and he produced breakthrough. They dug a pit for him and he jumped over it onto his high place. And the only conclusion is the hand of the Lord is upon him. May that be your story. I said, may that be your story. They will throw everything against you, but you will rise up. And one of these days, somebody will look at you and say, I see the hand of the Lord upon you. God's hand is upon you because God has favored you. Now, after they have done all of that, God has assured Isaac, and the people have also assured Isaac. Isaac is in a good place. He's in a good place. And when you read verse 12 and 14 of Genesis 26, it says, then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him. Now when you read the passage in Genesis chapter 26, this verse, verse 12, occurs before all the digging of the wells. So it will appear as if this happened and then they took him out and then he went to dig the wells. But in the real sequence, chronological sequence, verse 12 comes after. And the reason you would know that is if you read the verse 12 to verse 14, it says, he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants, so the Philistines envied him. Now, if you read verse 15, it says, now the Philistines had stopped all the wells which Abraham's His father's servants had died in the days of Abraham. So what the passage is doing is it tells us the end and then tells us the process. So it tells us Isaac prospered. How did he prosper? Well, this is how he prospered. The Philistines had stopped all the wells, and Isaac went digging the wells, and they took him out and they took his wells from him. But God prospered him and brought him to Rehoboth. And when he got to Rehoboth, the people came and signed a contract with him. So after that, Isaac sowed in the land, and the Lord gave him abundance. So the sowing in the land does not come before the digging of the wells. The digging of the wells come before the sowing in the land. Why is that so? Because the land was in farming, and you cannot sow on dry land. You have to sow on an irrigated land. He had to irrigate the land with the wells before he could sow, so that the Lord will make him prosperous and he will continue to prosper. So he had his Rehoboth, which opened the wells to him, and the people gave him access to water. He dug more wells and more wells and more wells. And after that, the man had all the water he needed. And so he started sowing in the land, and the Lord prospered him. We don't sow on dry land. We sow on irrigated land. There are some environments you don't sow your seed in until God has changed the environment. Then you can sow your seed. Then you would see the results, the abundance and the prosperity. So we see the process. Rehoboth, the Lord has made room for us. Therefore, we shall be fruitful. Did he become fruitful? Yes, because Isaac sowed in the land and he became fruitful. And he prospered abundantly. And when God brings you to your Rehoboth, you have to sow the seed that God has given to you. Now, many times God brings us to a place like Isaac, a Rehoboth. He makes a way for us. He brings us to a large place, and everything is working for us. But our attitude may disturb the outcome. So I'm going to look at two responses to open fields. When God brings you to an open field, there are two ways you can respond. The first way, if you were Isaac, now you have your wells of water. You are in Rehoboth. God says, I'm with you. The Philistines have said, now say you are blessed. Now you can operate. Now, sometimes you can take that as your breakthrough, fold your arms and rejoice. Or sometimes, although God has given you the breakthrough, you may not go out and take advantage of it. So the first way that sometimes people respond to an open field is responding in laziness. Laziness. God has opened the door, but you are lazy. Laziness. And that is not a recommended response. Proverbs chapter 26 verse 13. It says, the lazy man or woman. The lazy man says, there is a lion in the road. A fierce lion is in the streets. And just for your information, the word translated street is the same word from which the root of Rehoboth comes from. The same thing. Another version of this verse says, it's in verse, Proverbs 22 verse 13. It's another version of the same, what we find 26:13. Proverbs 22:13 says, the lazy man says, there is a lion outside. I shall be slain in the streets. So what's wrong with the lazy man? Two things. First, is the lazy man makes excuses. He goes to bizarre lengths to avoid leaving his house because he says, there's a lion in the streets. At the time that these stories were happening in Israel, a lion would not be roaming in an open plaza in an Israelite town. You won't find a lion in an open plaza. Lions were in the wild. But the lazy man makes excuses. There is danger. There is trouble. I can't go out. The last time I did it, I was not encouraged. The last time I did it, lions came after me. The last time I tried to prosper, people discouraged me. Enough is enough. Man came to do some, but he didn't come to do all. I have done my part. You know, sometimes you find somebody who is about 35 years old, I've done my part. I've done my best. 35? 40 years, you've done your best. You've done your part. 50 years. What are you going to do with the next 40 years of your life? The lazy man makes excuses. And sometimes we all make it. You know, things are hard. Things are difficult. You know, pull him down syndrome, crabology in Ghana. You know, if you try to rise up, people will pull you down. Hey, you can't trust anybody. That's excuses. When God gives you an open field, stop making excuses. Stop hiding behind culture. Stop hiding behind proverbs. It's an open field. It's your Rehoboth. Don't be lazy. And the second thing you note about the lazy man is that he exaggerates the opposition. Why do I say he exaggerates? If you listen to the statement, he starts with a lion and progresses to a fierce lion. The lazy man starts and progresses. There's a lion in the streets. A fierce lion is in the streets. He magnifies the challenges facing him. Yes, it was bad, but don't add to it. Yes, a lion came, but it wasn't fierce. Yes, they push you, but the push was feeble. Don't go about magnifying your problems beyond measure. What I've been through, eh? Hey! I would have died, oh. You would have heard last week, you would have heard that I'm gone. And you are still here. And talking about last week, you have gone. Why didn't you go? Stop exaggerating for sympathy. Stop telling stories for people to say, hey, you suffered, oh, is that so? And what did you gain? Because one of the problems we have in this part of the world, we like sympathy. The lazy man makes excuses and exaggerates. Even in their Rehoboth, they make excuses and exaggerate. But there is a second way we can approach this. Not with laziness, but with strength. And my example is from Samson in Judges chapter 14, verse 5 and 6. So Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother and came to the vineyards of Timnah. Now to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat. Though he had nothing in his hand, but he did not tell his father or mother what he had done. When God brings you to your open fields and a lion rises against you, you don't behave like a lazy man who stays indoors and says there's a lion in the streets, a fierce lion. You behave like Samson. And watch what happened. When the lion came against him, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. If you want to move in strength, you have to move in the power of the Spirit. Samson was in the vineyards of Timnah when this attack came. But with the attack also came the empowerment. So listen to me. When the enemy comes against you, the Spirit of God will come upon you. When the enemy comes against you, the Spirit of God will come upon you. When the enemy comes against you, the Spirit of God will come upon you. The enemy rose up and the Spirit also rose up. Because for what the enemy is doing against you, there is an equal action of the Holy Spirit on your behalf. It's an equal action. Don't just look at those who roar against you. Sense the power that is upon you. When the enemy comes against you, the Spirit of God will come upon you. Then the second thing we notice about Samson is that he tore the opposition apart. He tears the opposition apart. He had no weapon in his hand, but he had a weapon in his spirit. On the outside, he was unarmed, but on the inside, he was fully armed for battle. I believe there are lion slayers in this room today. And God has brought you to your open field, and you are a lion slayer. You may hear the roar of the lion from the outside, but hear the roar of the spirit that is resting upon you. Something on the inside is working on the outside. You have the grace of God. I believe there are lion slayers. And may the Lord cause you to tear apart every opposition that is risen against you. And this morning, I speak into your life, into your destiny, into your purposes, by the power of Almighty God, whose we are and whom we serve. I don't know those who pushed you outside and those who said you will not open wells in this place. The Lord will turn their hearts towards you. And one of these days they're going to come back to you and say, but we didn't do you any harm. But we didn't hurt you, because the blessing of the Lord is coming upon you. I said the blessing of the Lord is upon you. Your story is turning and it is changing. And the Spirit of God is coming upon you. And that which roars against you, the Lord will cause you to roar against it. And may you receive strength to tear apart every plan, every maneuver, every activity, every orchestration, every device, every force, every demonic activity. You will tear it apart and tear it apart and tear it apart in the name of Jesus. Though you may have no weapon in your hand, you have a weapon in your spirit. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. And today you're going to tear apart every lion. And I like how the Bible puts it. It says, Samson tore it apart like a little goat. The lazy man says, there is a lion in the streets. Samson says, come on, lion. The lazy man says, I will not go face lion. But Samson, with the strength of the Lord, tears apart that lion. Put your hand upon your head and say, Spirit of God, come upon me. Come upon me. Empower me. Anoint me with strength, with power. In my Rehoboth, nothing will stand in my way. I declare today, no weapon of the enemy will succeed against me. From today, I rise to slay my lions in my open fields. In this season, I will plant, I will build, I will harvest. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Give God praise, somebody. It's my open field. It's your Rehoboth. And the favor of the Lord is upon you.
Thank you for listening to Living Word. To interact with Pastor Mensah Otebe, like his page on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter @MensahOtebe. Email audible@centralgospel.com or call +233 302 688 000.